sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. This is Bruce Kaplan wishing everyone in my radio audience a happy new year. Tonight we have two wonderful radio gems for you. The first episode stars the great actor Frank Lovejoy. Frank was all over the radio dial in the 40s and the 50s. Tonight he's going to star in a Twilight Zone type experience. In fact, later on, Rod Serling played a very similar episode on the Twilight Zone. The second story is every bit as thrilling. It also has a science fiction twist and a New Year's theme to it. This wonderful radio station has been on the air for about a year. I want to thank Kevin Crutchfield, who's done such a great job of editing my shows and getting them on the web so that you can tune them in at your leisure. I just want to remind all of our listeners that this station depends on listener support and also the financial support of you out there. If you're financially able, please don't hesitate to go to the website of valley1031.org and give a donation to support this great little station. Once again, happy, wonderful New Year to everyone in our audience. It's our goal to give you in the radio land the best of audio entertainment in the coming year.
At this time of the year, although we have even less time on our hands, time is much in our minds. We make a magic ritual of New Year's Eve when we suppose we can flush away all our past impurities and begin afresh at that magic hour of midnight on the 31st of December. But suppose we couldn't. Suppose the 31st of December were not the end. Listen. Listen then as Mr. Frank Lovejoy stars in the 32nd of December.
The 32nd of December, starring Mr. Frank Lovejoy, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
New Year's Eve. As far as I was concerned, when I got up the morning of December 31st, it could stay 1958 forever. The only trouble is time doesn't work that way. Time is a downhill ride in a car with no brakes. You can't stop it even if your life depends on it. And mine did.
Joe, your breakfast is getting cold.
I'm coming. All I have time for is a cup of coffee anyway. What is this, milk? Don't we ever have anything but milk to put in the coffee?
You know we can't afford cream these days. We can hardly afford to eat.
Molly, you'll be wearing mink yet. Just give me a little more time.
Yeah, you've been saying that ever since you got married.
Well, sooner or later, Molly, I'm going to make it. By the way, honey, let me have your ring.
Why?
Well, you said the diamond's loose. I'll drop it at the jeweler's on my way to the office.
Oh, we can't afford to get it fixed now.
Molly, that's an expensive ring. We can't afford not to take care of it.
Joe, have you been gambling again?
Oh, now, Molly, I told you, I'm all through with that.
You told me the same thing just before you pawned your watch. And the cufflinks I gave you on our first anniversary.
Going to pawn your engagement ring. Now, let me have it. I'll pick it up on my way home tonight.
Well, all right, but, Joe...
What?
Remember, it's very precious, at least to me.
Sure. Sure, I've been gambling again. I was in the hole bad. The boys wanted the payoff by midnight, and this time they weren't going to take no for an answer. If I couldn't raise the dough on Molly's ring, I didn't know what I'd do. The pawn shop was like any other pawn shop, dirty and gloomy, full of junk, with clocks ticking all over the place. One thing caught my eye as soon as I came in. In the front case, a watch, curiously ornate, obviously very old. It sort of glowed in the case. I couldn't take my eyes off it.
You like to look at the watch?
No. No, it's very interesting, but... how much can I get on this ring?
On this, I can lend you $150.
$150? The guy I won it off claimed it was worth more than $1,000.
$150.
I can probably get $500 for it easy.
Then you would be foolish to accept my offer.
That's the best you can do.
$150.
I'll take it.
I will get the money.
While I waited, I felt my eyes drawn to the antique watch again. I picked it up. It felt warm in my hand, almost as if it were alive. Its face was covered with all sorts of dials and figures. The date of the month, phase of the moon, even the signs of the zodiac. Some of the dials I couldn't read at all. They were inscribed with strange characters like hieroglyphics or ancient Sanskrit. Suddenly, I felt I had to have that watch.
100, 20, 40, 45, 150.
Can you tell me what all these dials mean?
I can tell you only that this watch controls many kinds of time. The fellow who pawned it claimed it could make time pass as slowly or as rapidly as he desired.
That's a pretty good trick.
Mm-hmm. But only a trick. Time is different for each of us, is it not?
What do you mean?
To a man sitting on a hot stove, 1 second lasts forever. But to a man making love, forever is only a second.
Yeah, I see what you mean. How much are you asking for the watch?
$150. Excuse me. Hello. Yes, one moment, please. Is your name Joe Adcock?
Yeah, why?
Yes, Mr. Adcock is here.
Who is it?
Who is calling? Hello. Hello? That is odd.
Nobody knew I was coming here. Who was it?
He did not identify himself. He just said, I would not believe him. Then he hung up.
It's funny. Say, now what about the guy who pawned this watch? Any chance of him wanting it back?
No, Mr. Adcock. He will not return for it. He has no further use for the watch.
Okay. Well, then I'll take it. I don't know why, but I've got to have it. I had no business buying the watch. It was a crazy thing to do. I hadn't walked more than a few steps from the pawn shop when I learned just how crazy.
Hold it, Adcock.
Well, who are you?
Just one of the boys.
What do you want?
A little talk. Private. In the alley here.
But I don't have
it. In the alley.
Ow, my arm.
You got the grand, Adcock.
I got until midnight to get it.
Yeah, that's right. The boss just wants me to make sure you don't forget. Like last time.
Oh, I won't forget, I promise.
I'll be waiting for you at midnight, right here by the pawn shop. Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, what is it?
This.
Oh.
That's just to make sure you don't forget. If you don't show up with the dough, there ain't going to be no New Year for you. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Good. See you at midnight.
I had to get back the 150. Maybe I could make a fast killing at the track with it, or something. I had to get it back.
Oh, back so soon, Mr. Adcock?
Yes, I made a mistake.
We all make mistakes. That is life.
Look, I've got to have that money back. Here's your watch.
My watch, Mr. Adcock? This is your watch. You bought it.
But I don't want it. I want the money.
A deal is a deal.
But you don't understand.
It is you who do not understand, Mr. Adcock. To sell the watch, you must find a buyer. I am not buying.
But look, you got to help me. Well, will you take the watch and pawn?
Of course. That is my business.
Well, how much can I get for it?
$5.
$5? Just a few minutes ago, I paid $150 for it.
It is unfortunate that I do not value it so highly now. $5?
No, thanks. $5 wouldn't help me. I had to have money, big money. My only chance now was to try to borrow it.
I know you've had an account here for years, Mr. Adcock, and of course we like to do what we can for our regular customers, but unless you have some collateral...
Well, what kind of collateral?
Oh, stocks, bonds, real estate.
If I had that kind of stuff, I wouldn't need the loan.
$500? Joe, you're crazy. Hey, bartender, another beer.
All right, Harry. Make it a C-note. Anything.
Yeah, well, what about the C-note you borrowed last August?
Oh, I'll pay you back. Honest.
Yeah, I heard that last August.
Oh, Harry, how long have you known me?
10 years, I guess.
All right, 10 years. Doesn't that count for anything?
For a C-note, it don't.
Oh, but Harry...
No!
Not a dime. Not a lousy dime. Only one thing left to do.
Central Flower Shop.
Molly, I want you to come home right now.
Joe, aren't you at work?
No, I'm home.
Well, what's the matter? Are you sick?
I'm all right. Just come home and hurry.
Joe, what's wrong?
We've got to get out of town. Fast. It took only a few minutes to throw everything Molly and I owned into suitcases. I kept looking at the watch, wondering when Molly was going
to
show up.
At the tone signal, the correct time will be 2:30.
2:30? What's keeping her? Well, at least the watch is on time. I wonder when I ought to wind it. Might as well do it right now. If I can figure out which one of these knobs to use, I'll try this one. What the devil? Where did the sun go? It was shining a minute ago. Now it's snowing. Oh, blasted, I did get the wrong knob. I moved it back to the 28th, so now I've got... Hey, wait a minute. The 28th was Sunday, the day we had the big snowstorm. Could the watch have... Ah, it's impossible. I set it back to the 31st, and I... What the... Now the sun is shining. Did the watch change the day, or am I losing my mind? Maybe I could set it again, test it. Let me see. I was in that pawn shop just before 1 o'clock. I set the hour hand back to 12:45. There, now we'll see. Is this the 3rd Avenue pawn shop?
Yes.
Is Joe Adcock there?
One moment, please. Is your name Joe Adcock?
Yeah,
why? Yes, Mr. Adcock is here.
Who is it?
Who is calling?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. I could hardly believe it myself. But there was no question about it. The watch did control time. Once I'd grasped that fact, I began to realize its implications. For the first time in my life, I could have all the time I needed, all the time I wanted.
Joe. Oh, Joe, what's wrong?
Not a thing, Molly, not a thing.
But you said we had to leave town.
Oh, did I? Well, that's all over now.
Joe, what are you talking about? I'll probably lose my job.
Now, don't get excited. Well, I might as well tell you the whole story. I lied to you about the gambling, Molly. I'm $1,000 in debt. I've got to pay off by midnight, but...
You pawned my ring, didn't you?
Well, now, don't worry. I'll get it back.
You lied to me.
I said I'll get it
you
back.
You have no right to pawn it. It's mine. I want my ring,
all though. Right, I'll get it.
Now, right now.
I haven't got time now. I've got to get back to the bank before it closes.
Get my ring, you promised.
Will you quit nagging me about your blasted ring? Let me get back to the bank. We'll have enough money to buy you a dozen rings.
Joe, what are you going to do?
I'm going to rob the bank. What else? Watch figured out right. Robbing the bank would be as easy as taking pennies from a blind man. It was 2:02 when I walked into the bank and headed for the vault.
Oh, hello, Mr. Adcock. Back again, I see.
Yeah, I've got to get into my safety deposit box.
Certainly, go right ahead.
Good. Nobody else in here. Now, I just turn the watch back to Sunday, the 28th.
It worked.
I'm locked in the vault, and it's Sunday. Now, let's see where they keep the ready cash. There it is. Stacks of it, and all mine. Well, that's plenty for now. Enough to pay the mob and more. There's always more where this comes from. Now, reset the watch to December 31st. Perfect. The perfect crime. All I have to do is get out of here without letting them see the money.
Mr. Adcock.
Yes?
A happy and prosperous new year to you, sir.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Molly! Hey, Molly. Molly, it worked. We're rich.
Have you been drinking?
No, not a drop. Here, look at this. Go on. Pick them up. They're real.
Joe, these are $1,000 bills. Where did you get them?
I robbed the bank.
Oh, come on, Joe.
I always told you I'd make it big someday. Well, today is the day. Now, you go out and buy yourself a dress. We're going to celebrate New Year's Eve in style.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, come on. Let's get out of this crowd.
It's almost midnight. I thought we were going to celebrate. You were going to take me to a nightclub.
Yeah. But first, I got to meet a guy at midnight. Come on.
Who?
A guy. I got to pay off that gambling debt.
Well, where are you meeting him?
It's just a block away in front of the pawn shop.
The pawn shop? My ring. Joe, you forgot my ring.
Oh, for Pete's sake. I'll get your lousy ring back. Just give me a little time.
Oh, a little time. That's the story of your life, isn't it, Joe? Just give me a little time. Well, all right, I'll give you all the time you want, all the rest of your life. I'm through with you, Joe. I just can't take it anymore.
Molly, don't leave me. Molly, come back.
Happy New Year.
Well, what happened? Molly just disappeared. The street is deserted. Molly! Hey, where is everybody? I wonder if this crazy watch had anything to do with... The 32nd? It should have clicked over to January 1st. Oh, no wonder everybody disappeared there. Isn't any 32nd of December. I'll just reset it. It's stuck. It won't budge. Oh, it's got to move. It's just... Oh, no. It can't be broken. I can't stay in the 32nd of December forever. I've got to fix it. I've got to get the back off. I've got to get it to works. But there's nothing inside. It's the 32nd of December. And it will always be the 32nd of December.
Thank you. New Year's nightmare. As the old year entered its last minute, the crowds at the Club Tropicana were waiting expectantly for the clock to strike midnight. At a ringside table, a lovely young woman angrily whispers to the man with her.
Chris, if you take another drink, I'll leave.
Oh, Judy, this is New Year's Eve. It'll be 1947 in another minute. Gotta celebrate, don't I? Just one more.
Just one more, just one more. That's what you always say. I wouldn't mind if it were just tonight, but you're always getting drunk.
Waiter, another bottle of champagne.
Nothing I say means anything to you, does it? Do you think because I've forgiven you a dozen times in the past, I'll do it again? But you're wrong, Chris.
Happy New Year, darling. 1947 is going to be our year.
No, Chris, it isn't. I won't marry a man who gets drunk in New York and wakes up the next day in another city.
Oh, Judy, what are you saying? You don't mean that. You know I love you.
Yes, Chris, you love me. But not enough to give up drinking. I'll miss you, Chris. Miss you terribly. But I know I'm doing the right thing.
Judy, don't talk like that. I couldn't live without you. You know that. Won't you?
I'm sorry, Chris. Here's your ring. Will you please take me home?
You don't have to leave. The sight of my drinking is too much for you. I'll go someplace else and do it. Martin will take you home. Happy New Year, and goodbye.
Finishing that drink, mister. 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm dead on my feet.
Sure. Sure, I'll drink up. No matter what she says.
That's right. Now you better go home and sleep it off. Good night and a happy 1947 to you.
Thanks. And the same to you. Gotta find another bar. New Year's. Gotta celebrate. Another bar across the street. Oh, gotta celebrate.
Hey, mister! Look out for that car! You know you run down if you don't? Look out!
My head. Oh, it feels so funny. What's that noise? Those horns.
Well, darling, it's midnight. New Year's.
Oh, my head is throbbing so. Where am I? How did I get here?
Why, darling, you live here.
Live here? What are you talking about?
Charles, I'd better call Dr. Smith. You look so strange. Hello? Connect me with Dr. Smith's apartment, please.
Never seen this place before.
Hello, doctor? This is Blanche Arnold. Yes, it's Charles. He isn't well. Could you come to our apartment at once? Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
What do you mean, I live here? Who are you? Where am I?
I'm your wife, Charles. This is our home, don't you remember?
You're my wife. You can't be. I'm not married. What am I doing here? What's your game?
Charles, can't you remember anything about us?
What are you talking about? I never saw you before. And why do you keep calling me Charles? My name is Chris. Chris Andrews.
Chris Andrews. So that's what the initial CA stood for.
Oh, that noise out there. What are they making such a racket for?
Because it's midnight, New Year's Eve.
Midnight? New Year's Eve? But it was midnight hours ago when I left the Club Tropicana. What are you talking about?
Oh, that must be Dr. Smith. I'll answer it.
Dr. Smith? I don't know any Dr. Smith.
Oh, come in, doctor. I'm so glad you're here. I think it's the amnesia. It seems to have left him all of a sudden. Charles? It's Dr. Smith.
I don't know him and I don't know you. And please stop calling me Charles. I told you my name is Chris Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Won't you sit down, Mr. Andrews? I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes.
What about?
Tell me, Mr. Andrews, what's the last thing you remember before finding yourself in this apartment?
Why, Judy. She and I were at the Club Tropicana, celebrating New Year's Eve.
I see.
I remember we quarreled about my drinking. I walked out on her and had a few drinks someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can recall. Oh, my head. I've had hangovers, but I've never felt like this before. What time is it?
It's just 4 minutes after 12.
But it can't be 4 minutes after 12 New Year's Eve. That was hours ago when I left the Tropicana.
Mr. Andrews, that was New Year's Eve, 1947.
What do you mean, that was New Year's Eve, 1947?
This is New Year's Eve, 1948.
1948? What are you talking about? It's 1947.
Well, here's the morning paper. You can see the date for yourself.
Thursday, January 1st, 1948. No, it can't be. It can't be. A year gone? Just like that? But where did it go? I haven't lived it yet.
Perhaps you'd better let me clear up a few things for you.
1948.
My name is Smith. I was a resident physician until recently at the Park Hospital. While I was on duty, last New Year's Day, 1947, you were brought into the hospital seriously injured, having been run over by a car. When you recovered consciousness 5 days later, you didn't know who you were. You were a victim of amnesia.
Amnesia?
Yes, and we didn't know who you were, as you had no identification papers.
But my wallet, letters...
They were gone. The only clue to your identity was a belt buckle with the initials, C.A. on it.
We didn't know your real name, so I called you Charles, for the C.
Blanche was your nurse.
I've always liked the name Charles. And as for your last name, we thought Arnold was as good as any, so you became Charles Arnold.
But what have I been doing since the day I recovered consciousness?
Well, you weren't discharged from the hospital until May. Then you went to work as an insurance clerk.
As an insurance clerk? But I don't know anything about being a clerk. I'm a reporter.
Well, there was no way of learning what your occupation had been. So when Blanche learned of this opening in an insurance office, you applied for the position.
And that's where I've been working up to now?
Yes.
And then after you got your job, we were married.
Married?
Charles. I mean, Chris. Don't you remember?
I'm afraid, Blanche, you really can't.
Married. But Judy. Oh, it's like a dream. My head keeps throbbing. I keep expecting to wake up. There's that date in the paper. January 1st, 1948.
Doctor, you said he might never get over his amnesia.
Well, that was a strong possibility, but apparently the sounds of New Year's brought back his memory.
You're gone just like that. Judy, my friend, job, all gone. Doctor, where am I? I mean, what's the address of this apartment house?
You're at 5718 North 13th Street, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? But how did I get to Philadelphia?
That we don't know. All that I can tell you is that your accident occurred just a few blocks from here.
Darling, I know what a shock it must
have. Strange. You must have called me darling many times in the past. And yet this is the first time I've ever heard you call me that.
Yes. I know.
What did you say your name was?
Hello, Doctor. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. How are you, Blanche?
All right, I suppose.
How's Chris getting along?
He's fine. It's just...
Why, Blanche, what's this? I've never seen you cry. Here, here.
No. It's just that everything's so changed. Those 6 months Chris and I were married before he regained his memory were the happiest of my life.
And now?
This past month since he got his memory back, it's been as though I were married to a stranger. It isn't as though he doesn't try to be nice to me. But it's all so obvious. He doesn't love me.
Now, Blanche, you mustn't say that.
It's true, I tell you. How can a man love a woman those first 6 months as he loved me and then fall out of love with her when he's regained his memory?
You must have patience, Blanche. It will take time for Chris to adjust himself to what's happened. He fell in love with you as Charles Arnold, and I'm sure he will as Chris Andrews. You just must give him time.
You.
Judy. Oh, Judy. Oh, just let me look at you. This can't be true. You're being here.
Well, it is. It's been a long time.
Yes. A year and a month since New Year's Eve, 1947.
Chris, what are you doing here in Philadelphia?
I live here.
Well, so do I. I got a job with Ryan and Company as a copywriter here a few months ago.
Look, Judy, we can't talk here on the sidewalk.
That's right. I live only a few blocks from here. We can go to my apartment.
Oh, that's fine. There's so much I want to ask, and there's so much to tell.
Here, let me have your hat and coat.
Thank you.
Would you like something to drink?
No, I don't drink anymore.
Oh? Chris, you have changed. You look so much older.
Well, you don't. You're as lovely as that night I saw you last.
Thank you, Chris.
Judy, you'll have to let me explain what happened after I left you that night at the Tropicana. If you find it difficult to believe, I won't blame you. It still seems like a nightmare to me. That night, after I left you... So now you know everything. From the moment I last saw you to this one.
Oh, no wonder you look different after having gone through an experience like that. Well, you're all right now. You know who you are. You're happily married. You have a job.
I'm not happily married, Judy.
Chris, you mustn't talk like that. Surely you must have loved your wife if you married her. And she hasn't changed.
Judy, there's never been anyone for me but you. You know that. And you still feel that way about me?
No, I don't.
When we met tonight, that old look was still in your eyes. You do care. You know you do.
Please, Chris, no matter how I feel about you, it's over now. You're married, and that's all there is to it. I wish you'd go, and I don't want to see you again.
I expected you home from work hours ago.
I met a friend.
Oh. Well, you look so tired. Do you feel well?
Blanche, this past month I tried my best to be a good husband, haven't I?
Well, you have been, darling.
No, there's something missing and you know it. Oh, it isn't your fault, it's mine. And as a result, we're both unhappy.
You mustn't say that, Chris. I feel that in time... things will be as they were when we were first married. When you were Charles Arnold.
No, but they won't be, Blanche. It's no use, I tell you.
Chris, who is the friend you met tonight?
The girl I was once engaged to.
I see.
Blanche, you've got to give me a divorce.
No, Chris. I'll never do that.
But why? You know I don't love you. What's the sense in going on like this?
Chris, when you were Charles Arnold, you did love me, and we were happy together. I had your love once, and I mean to win it back. I won't give you a divorce.
Hello, Judy.
Chris, I asked you not to call on me again.
Judy, I've got to talk to you. May I come in?
Well, all right. But just for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Judy, even if we hadn't met again a week ago, things wouldn't have been any different between my wife and myself. I'll never love her. And I'm not going on with her.
What do you mean, Chris?
I'm going to leave her, Judy, and start all over, someplace far away. I just came around to say goodbye.
Are you set on leaving her?
Yes. Nothing can change my mind about that.
Now, you've got to understand my position, Chris. I could never be happy with you if I thought I'd been the one who came between you and your wife. But if you are going to leave her, I would like to see you again when you're free.
Would you, Judy?
Yes. But I don't want to see you until she's given you a divorce.
A divorce? Judy, I am going to be free. Nothing's going to prevent it. Nothing. Blanche, how would you like to go out tonight?
Go out?
Yeah, we might take in a show or go dancing. Didn't I ever take you out when I was Charles Arnold?
Oh, why, yes. We used to have wonderful evenings together then.
Well, why not now? Unless you don't want to.
Oh, Chris, there's nothing in the world I'd rather do.
Hey, why the tears?
Oh, it's just that I'm so happy.
Oh, come here. Did this Mr. Arnold ever put his arms around you like this?
Oh, yes, often. Oh, Chris, stop squeezing me so tight. Chris!
Sorry, darling.
Oh. Oh, you almost squeezed me to death.
That's so you remember that I'm your husband and, not Mr. Arnold. And, Blanche?
Oh, yes, Chris.
I'm taking a week's vacation soon, What do you say if we go up to the Adirondack Mountains for a week of winter sports?
Oh, Chris, I'd love to. Well, it'll be like a second honeymoon.
Blanche, you all right? There's only a few more feet to the top.
I'm coming, darling. Why? Oh, there you are. Oh, Chris. Oh, the view is wonderful from here, isn't it?
You're right. Being up here is like being alone in the world.
Yes, just the two of us. Oh, this past week's been a wonderful one, Chris. I've never been so happy.
Nor have I.
Oh, be careful, Chris. Don't go so near the edge. That canyon's 4,000 feet deep.
Oh, this ledge is perfectly safe. Come over here and take a look at the valley below.
All right. Oh, please keep your arms around me, Chris. Looking down like this frightens me.
There. You're safe in my arms.
Chris, why are you looking at me that way?
What way, dear?
I don't know. Is your head throbbing again?
No, dear. I don't suppose you've changed your mind about giving me a divorce. Have you?
Giving you a divorce? But I thought we were so happy together.
Yes, that's the impression I meant people to get.
Chris, you can't be serious. Why, everything's been wonderful these past few weeks.
Oh, I see it won't be any use trying to talk you into it.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry, Blanche. I don't want to do this, but you've given me no alternative. It's really your own fault, that you must die.
Let go of me. Let go.
No, you struggling, darling. No one can see or hear you, and you can't possibly escape.
You can't throw me off that ledge up there, then I'll hang you.
I don't think so, dear. We've been so happy these past few weeks, I'm sure the police will see it as an unfortunate accident.
Stop pushing me towards the edge. Chris, don't know. I'll give you a divorce. I'll give you anything.
I'm afraid it's too late for that. Good evening, Judy. May I come in?
Why, yes, of course. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm all right. I want to thank you for the note you sent me when Blanche died.
I can't tell you how sorry I was to hear about it, Chris.
Yes, but it all happened so quickly.
Mm. What have you been doing since then?
Oh, just working. Trying to straighten myself out. Mm-hmm. Judy, perhaps I shouldn't talk about it now, seeing that Blanche has only been gone a month, but I've been thinking of leaving town. Will you come with me?
Please sit down, Chris. You make me nervous walking back and forth like this.
All right. But you haven't answered my question.
Well, it isn't easy to answer.
Well, it would be if you said yes. I see in your eyes you mean no. Why?
Chris, I've met someone else recently.
Someone else? But you said if I were free, you'd marry me.
I didn't say I'd marry you. I said if you were free, I'd like to see you again. But now I'm not even sure of that. You're so different from what you used to be.
Stop being clever. If you didn't say you'd marry me, you implied it.
Please, Chris, you're making it so difficult for me.
I'm making it difficult for you. And I suppose what I've been through doesn't count. I risked my life to get you.
Risked your life? Chris, what are you saying?
Are you such a fool as to believe that Blanche fell off that mountain?
Chris, you didn't.
Yes. And I didn't because you said you'd marry me if I were free.
Oh, no, I meant a divorce.
But she wouldn't give me a divorce. It was the only way I could gain my freedom. And now you tell me there's someone else.
Oh, Chris.
I did it for you. And you're going to marry me.
No, I won't.
If I can't have you, no one else will.
Chris, what's the matter with you? Chris!
We were meant for each other, darling. In life and in death.
Chris, if you come any closer, I'll scream for help. No, don't! Chris, no!
You won't marry me. You'll never marry
anyone
else. There. He'll never have you.
Hold on over there.
I didn't want to do it, darling. But you forced me to. Oh, my head. It throbs so. Everything's like a nightmare.
Open up in there. This is the police.
The police? I've got to get away. Oh, they're closing in on me. There's no escape from this room.
Let's work our way down from this end of the rope to the other.
They'll never take me alive. Never. I've got 5 bullets. 4 for them and the last for myself.
Easy now, Joe. Maybe you had me had one of those chimneys.
Oh, my head. It keeps throbbing so. If I could only think. All this can't be real. It's like a horrible dream. And they're coming for me.
Wait. There's someone behind that chimney over there. Get under cover.
They'll never take me alive, never. I'll show them.
Keep on, Mike.
Why don't you come and get me? If I shoot it out with me, huh? I'll show you.
Come on, Mike. His gun is empty.
You'll never take me alive. Never!
He's climbing up on the ledge. It's 15 stories down.
I'm coming, Judy. I'm coming.
He's going to jump.
I'm falling. Falling! You'll never take me. Never. I'm falling. Falling.
Doctor, the patient's recovering consciousness.
Yes, you're right. He's opening his eyes.
Oh, my head. It drops so. Where am I? Oh, it was a dream. Not real. Oh, thank heaven.
Now, you must be quiet. You've been in a serious accident.
Accident?
Yes. You were hit by an automobile New Year's morning. Would you mind telling me your name? There weren't any identification papers in your clothing, and we'd like to inform your relatives of what happened.
My name? I can't remember my name.
I see. Well, what about your address? Can you remember that?
No. No, I can't remember anything.
Now, you mustn't get excited. It'll all come back to you. You received a fractured skull from the accident.
There was a mountain.
Mountain? You mean you live near one?
I don't know. There was a mountain, and the police were chasing me.
and I jumped off a high building. It's all mixed up.
You probably dreamed that while you were unconscious, that you're all right now. Just need rest and quiet.
Where am I?
You're in the Park Hospital, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? What day is it?
It's January 5th, 1947. It's 7:26 in the evening.
And you don't know my name?
No, all we have is your belt buckle with the initials C.A.
C.A.
Nurse, will you look after the patient now? I'll be in to see him later tonight.
Yes, doctor. Are you comfortable?
The initial C.A. What do you suppose they stand for?
Perhaps the C is for Charles.
Charles? Charles. I don't know.
Well, suppose I call you Charles, just for the time being. I always liked the name Charles.
All right. What's your name?
I'm Miss Thompson, but you can call me Blanche. And Charles, let me be the first to wish you a happy 1947.
Those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said, I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get you courtable, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. Those old
all the ones about moon.
Records. Those old
all the ones about you.
Records. The ones
Kitten
we used to play so long ago.
On the old wind-up Victrola. Barney Google was great.
The tunes
all the songs
really
about Kate.
And especially
jada,
those
jada,
that
boom,
said I love you so.
Yuckahoola, hickey,
I used to beg you
honey,
over and over just to set the
honey.
Wedding day.
Meet me on
to
the
get you portable, I'd bring my portable
songs
and melt your heart away. With all those old
they were wonderful
records,
then.
Those old
play them over again.
Records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.